Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. Now there's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish a book I do the review and stick it up here on the podcast feed. Happy New Year! It's the beginning of 2010. What is it? It's Saturday the 2nd. I'm still down here in South America, in Montevideo, in Uruguay. Tomorrow I'll fly back home and be home on Monday night. But it's not a lot of news otherwise, but I've had a pretty good New Year. I'm really, I wouldn't say sick of travelling, but I'm really missing home and can't wait to get home because I've been on the road now for about 8 weeks long. Otherwise, like I say, not a lot of news. And also, sorry about the last episode that I put out. I put it out twice, so hopefully if you downloaded it twice by accident, don't worry about it. The latest one is the best quality one and the one that worked on iTunes. Also, obligatory posts for like the end of 2009, beginning of 2010. I put two long posts on my blog, which sort of wrapped up the year for me and all my different projects with photography and music and videos and traveling and work and juggling everything like that. You can read it there. And also my goals for 2010. Also my photos. I put up my favorite 77 photos, travel photos and wildlife photos and all that kind of stuff that I took in 2009. You can find that on the blog too. And also, one final bit of news is that I sent out my latest novel, which has got the working title of Combat Story, and I've got loads of great feedback. Thanks a lot to everyone who's given me feedback so far. I mean, it's only been like 4 people who read it and sent me feedback, but they've given me a lot of stuff to work with, and I think that it's going to be even better now that I've pointed out the flaws and went, hey, wait a second, it's all good, but you can really bump it up to a higher quality by changing this, and that's what is really good about being a writer in this internet age, being able to collaborate with my listeners of this podcast, and it's a lot of fun. So hopefully I'll get that all finished and edited and released in the next month or so. I'd like to do it by the end of January, but you know, again, it'll take another round of readers to give me feedback on the next draft and stuff, but hopefully I'll get it sorted. Onto the book. I gave up on Elantris completely, and even though I looked on loads of different places, I couldn't actually get to the end of the story even by spoiling it for myself online, which is a real pity. But you know, I sort of worked out what happens at the end, who does what, you know, just by getting into like the spoiler reviews on goodreads.com and stuff, so that's pretty good. So I decided to take a different path because I couldn't be bothered to actually do any more reading because I only had the books on my iPhone and didn't want to like start one of those books. I was going to save the novels that I have on there for my flight home. So what I thought I'd do is I had it already downloaded and I thought I would check out an audiobook mainly because, well, again, I'd run out of podcasts, and because I'm traveling a lot, I didn't get a chance to listen to download the podcast. And because it was over Christmas, people don't put out so many podcasts either. So I had sort of some time where I'd normally listen to podcasts or music or something that I wanted to listen to. And also, I got some recommendations from John Lenihan, who had done his own podcast novel, which I reviewed as part of the last episode. And I would have listened to his novel, but I'd already read it, so I went on to Podio Books. And actually, I'd worked out that in the past, I'd already downloaded all of Scott Sigler's novel called The Rookie. And that's his sort of science fiction novel that he released back in 2007. So I thought, well, I've already got this on my laptop. I'd listened to like the first 3 episodes of it, but didn't really get into it very much because, well, to be honest, I didn't really like the character. And I didn't, well, it wasn't that I didn't understand it, the American football references and stuff like that, but I wasn't really getting much out of it out those first few episodes, though. But I'd never deleted it off, well, I had deleted it off my laptop, but it was still there on this archive hard drive that I carry around with me, which I stick loads on. It's not like a terabyte hard drive that I carry around with me that I just stick everything on when it comes off my my hard drive on my laptop. So I thought, well, I'll give this another go. And so I got back into it and actually really, really enjoyed it. I don't normally do audiobooks, mainly because I can't cope with long fiction format as audio. I'm much more of a sort of like 45 minute short story kind of guy or podcast kind of guy. But because it was a podcast and I've never tried listening to a podcast novel before, like before this one, it, you know, sort of like that bite sized chunks that it came in really helped out. So I'll just get straight into it. Like I say, this is 2007, or that's when the dates of the files that I downloaded are. It's called The Rookie from Scott Sigler. He's done other books as well, but this is his like first like truly, well, I'm not sure if it's his first science fiction novel, but it is a science fiction novel, so that's why I guess I checked it out like when I downloaded it 6 months ago and never got around to listening to it. So the world is, it's set in sort of like this space opera kind of future, 700 years in the future, and you get these galaxy spanning civilizations of these different alien species. You've got the humans, of course, they spread out across the world. You've got the Skolorno, the Kee, and the Quiff. I'll talk about these different alien races later. And what actually happened is that they were all taken over by this sort of these small bat-like kind of flying alien little beings called the Krederakian. And the Krederakian is sort of like, they weren't really well known on the scene, on the galactic scene at all, but they came out of nowhere and took everything over. And so now everyone, except the Quiff, lives under Krederakian rule. And so there's lots and lots of history in the book. I'm not going to go into it now because that's actually quite a good fun part of the book, is actually learning about how all this happened and the past and the history of the races and things like that. But the idea is that the Krederakians decided as a way to get all the alien races to work together and to become like to stabilize their new galactic empire, they'd encourage everyone to play and watch and sort of like spectate and participate in the fandom of and the following of American football, or just football as it's called there. So they set up what's called the Galactic Football League, and the different alien species all play together in the same teams. And I remember when I first heard about this, I think I heard Scott Sigler talk about it on the on one of the podcasts. He did a podcast interview, I can't remember what podcast it was, and he was saying, yeah, and there's different aliens and they play together in space. And I thought, oh, that just sounds stupid. But then actually thinking about it a little bit more in depth, it makes a lot of sense, because if you watch American football games, you see loads of different kinds of body types. You've got like these small running tailbacks, and you've got the quarterback, who's normally like a smaller guy, athletic but not in the same kind of bulked up kind of way as the others, but he's a really good thrower and very quick and intelligent and can see the whole field and things like that. He's like the general of the team, sort of directing the troops from on the team. And then you've got like the wide receivers, who like are fast runners, they jump up to catch the balls and things like that. And you get the powerful sort of tight ends, and then you get the offensive lines and the defensive lines. And if you ever if you don't know American football, when they go hup, and they sort of clash in together, and those are sort of like the 3, 4, 5 guys at the front who just smash into each other, and their only job is to sort of either protect the quarterback or attack the quarterback. And so they're just like pure bulk and strength and weight, and they're low to the ground and they're scrabbling at each other and trying to tear each other's heads off and just push each other into the ground and things like that. And so it does actually make a lot of sense, with different aliens representing these different body types. And it even talks about that in the novel. It's like soccer, yeah, they're just, you know, only humans are good at soccer because you all need to be about the same body size. And basketball is all, is this other race is like that, because all basketballs are like tall and long and thin. It's the same with lots of other sports. And actually thinking about it, didn't mention it in the book, but volleyball, you actually have a token small person on each volleyball team. You have like 5 as tall as possible people who can reach up and smack the ball really easily over the net. But then you've got like this rotating like little person, I say little person, normal sized person, not massively tall person, who takes part in it. So they have to have like positive discrimination just to make it so these other, you know, so volleyball is accessible to smaller people, to shorter people like that. So what you have here, you've got the humans who play like the quarterbacks, and like bigger humans who come from like like high gravity worlds, who are sort of built like gorillas, you know, they take on sort of like tight ends and stuff like that. And also the humans are like in the running positions as well, like so they like sprint from the back, take the ball from the quarterback and rush through the line as well. And you get the Skolorno, which are the running, tall, jumping, wide receiver kind of players, and also defensive I can't remember all the terms now are here as well, but they're on the defensive teams as well. And all of the Skolornos who play are female. So what you get, instead of having man-to-man coverage, you have woman-to-woman coverage, and that's quite interesting too. You got the Quiff, and the Quiff you get these Quiff warriors, which are like specially bred aliens to be big and bulky and intelligent and quick and things like that. And they play on the defensive, linebackers as well, so they're sort of pushing forward and attacking, and also doing zone coverage as well. Maybe these terms don't make too much sense, but it makes a lot of sense to do this. And finally, you get the quiff. The key, which are these sort of massive lizard kind of tank-sized linemen who are the offensive and defensive line, and they just smash into each other. And if you get hit, if you're a human and you get hit by one of these, they can snap you in half. And because it's very, very violent, people actually die on the field. But if it's like, if it's a fair play and someone dies, that's fine as well, like that. But then again, American football is very violent, and it is quite impressive to see these guys smacking into each other as well. Those are the different positions. That's sort of like the setup. And what you do is you have the Galactic Football League. You've got like the main First Division League, the Second Division League, and then and there's many divisions within these leagues. And then, of course, you get like the third tier league. So each planet or each sort of smaller part of the empire will have their own third tier lead. And that's pretty much the world. It's very, very well done. It's very well explained. You know, in the classic sort of in this classic sort of space opera kind of thing, all these different aliens interacting with each other in different ways, lots of different characters, and they go, and because you're traveling around with one of these teams on the Galactic Football League circuit in their season, they go and visit many worlds as well, so you get to see lots of interesting places. You get to go, they're in the all the action takes place in the Quiff Irradiated League, and it's funny because the Quiff can live in any levels of radiation. So planets that have been bombarded and destroyed by nuclear weapons in these sort of galactic wars, they go and settle there. And so the Quiff Irradiated League are the games that take place on the in the sort of the Quiff territory on their planets and stuff. So there's a lot of like world building and stuff like that, and it's quite enjoyable to read. You know, it's a little bit silly in places, but a lot of fun. Now the story follows Quentin Blake, and he was the quarterback on a team in what's called the Purest Nation. And the Purest Nation is what happened is that when Earth made contact with aliens for the first time, all the religious people of all of the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews went, hey, wait a second, this isn't good. We got to shun these evil alien races. And they went and set up their own little empire, and sort of they had their own planets called the Purest Nation planets. And everyone there, it's all a bit backwards there, you know, everyone there is religious and they're all hating other aliens and everything. That's the whole structure of the society is focused around what they are not, and they are not aliens. So all of the people on their football teams are humans, and Quentin Blake is the best human quarterback, and he gets recruited into the Ironeth Krakens, and the Krakens are the team that's owned by, I think, is it Hokor the Hookback? Or no, Hokor is the coach of this team, but there's one owner, and the reason why he wants to get Quentin Blake into his team is that he wants to be able to get into Tier 1. Because when you're in Tier 1, you can travel to the more profitable parts of the galaxy, and he has his own sort of trade routes or like smuggling routes that he wants to use his football team to get into Tier 1. And it's very profitable as well to have one of these football franchises as well. So that's the idea. And so Quentin Blake comes in. He is the rookie. First season as the quarterback. So he spends his season trying to become the starting quarterback, to be the first guy on the field, to lead the field, lead his team into battle. It is pretty much into battle, but throughout the season. And Donald Pine is the hero quarterback who's with the team at the moment. But he's old, he's almost past it, and Quentin is trying to take his position out from under him. And of course, because he comes from the Purest Nation, he starts out as this racist yokel he's never even seen an alien before. So then he has to become, of course, later on in the book, he's trying to become the team leader. And it's sort of like, okay, will he overcome his prejudices? And will he play as, like, the starting quarterback for the Krakens? And of course, it's because it's a sports story, it's quite predictable, but it is carried off remarkably well. Because I really did start off hating Quentin Blake, and that's probably why I didn't start the book, because I was like, oh, who's this whiny git? You know, I don't really care about him. Thought he was a bit of an idiot. But of course, by the end of the book, I was like, woohoo, go Quentin, rooting for him every way. And he goes on a very interesting journey. Also, with the story, before I get into the characters a bit more, there is sort of mob activity with gambling and match fixing and stuff going on too. But also, there's sort of hints that in the future novels in this series, there's going to be like a lot more action on like the wider scale, like politically, because it talks a lot about like the political setup and the history. And I'm thinking, okay, in the future, stuff's going to happen. You know, shit is going to hit the fan, and Quentin Blake and the Krakens are probably going to be playing a part in this in the future. So that's all set up well. I talked a bit about Quentin Blake. His character is very interesting. He does stupid things sometimes, but unlike, say, in Elantris, that previous novel that I was reading, where people were doing stupid stuff, but then they were made out to be really clever, and I was just like, what the hell's going on here? It's like everyone in the room thinks they're clever because they're all more stupid than the stupid person leading them. Whereas here, every stupid thing that Quentin does, it is sort of based in his emotions and in his perceptions. And then when things go wrong, you know, his perceptions change and things like that. So he really does go on a journey journey of personal growth and learning how to deal with non-human players as well. Like that's very interesting. But also the secondary characters and even the minor roles are very, very well portrayed too. Like I say, there's Hokor, who's the coach, and he is sort of like always angry and is sort of like, what are you doing like this? And because it helps that Scott Sigler gives each of these characters a distinct voice, and all of the alien, you know, species has their own like distinctive vocal characteristics as well. And Scott Sigler is a very, very good vocal performer and actor as well to bring across these characters. But it's not just in the vocal performances, it really is in the writing and in the characters, because all of them have their own motivations, all of them have the things that they're working towards. You know, you've got of course the Donald Pine, who's the starting quarterback, and he has his own journey, he has his own battles that he goes up against. And each member of the team, actually no, it's not each member of the team, because there's like 40 odd or 45 players or something on the team, but you really concentrate on specific ones, like Denver, one of the female Scolano running backs, no, not running backs, wide receivers. And you've got like the Mumo Kilui and Mitchell Fired and John Tweedy, all these other team members that he's working with, like, and training with on a daily basis. You really get to know them. So in the end, it's not just like, oh yeah, I want the team to win, oh, I want Quentin Blake to win, because it is, you actually feel like you're becoming part of the team. And that's the best thing about like sports, well, I was gonna say movies and novels and stuff like that. You actually want to become part of it, and you're invested into it, and it's purely down to the characters, and you want them to succeed, and also you want some of them to not succeed, and you want others to make friends with each other and things like that. So it's very well done. There's absolutely no females except for the Scolano in the books. There's absolutely no love interest or any kind of romantic involvement by anyone in the novel, which is actually quite refreshing. I quite like that, and that's good too. Moving on to the technical kind of side of things and the science, one of the best sort of like uses of I wouldn't say technical aspects, but certainly the science, are the aliens. They're all very well thought out. They've all got sort of well-defined life cycles and societies and physiologies, and they're all quite, not all of them explained in depth, but enough of them are that you can really understand like the mindset and everything of each of the aliens, which is good, pretty good. A lot of the tech is based around sort of like football. So obviously Scott Sigler is a big football fan. He's like, okay, in the future, what technical advancements can we have which will help out football players? So there's lots of different training devices that he's invented here, and also a lot of medical equipment and a lot of medical science and developments that he's brought up just to patch up the players on the side of the pitch. And that's actually really good fun to read about, how they repair the players and get them back onto the field, which is good stuff because it's very violent. But then again, a lot of the world building as well isn't, well, not so much world building, but the science behind the big structures and stuff isn't quite there. For example, he talks about a space elevator, and we all know that a space elevator has to be so many, what is it, 38,000 miles long? I can't remember what geostationary orbit is, but it's thousands and thousands of miles long. But they get into the space elevator and go down, and it's like they got in and they went down and his stomach lurched and then it was okay again, and then they got off at the bottom. And I'm like, wait a second, don't we all know that it takes, like, you know, traveling even at the speed of sound, it'll take you, you know, 38 hours or whatever it would be to get down, or 50 hours, like 3 days to get down a space elevator. And if you're traveling then, if you're traveling at thousands and thousands of miles an hour, maybe like 20,000 miles an hour, even 30,000 miles an hour at your fastest point, it'll still take you like an hour to get down, but then you've got to go under massive acceleration on either end. So it's a bit strange that he just skipped over that. And then, of course, he goes, okay, and the space elevator ends in the Hudson Bay. After the first space elevator was built on Earth and it ended at the English Channel, I'm like, but don't we all know that space elevators have to be pinned somewhere on the equator? Otherwise, the geostationary orbit, it has to go around the equator, and that would be the shortest way. So, like, even going back to the Fountains of Paradise, it was built coming out of Sri Lanka. You know, I mean, it's not just that Arthur C. Clarke lives in Sri Lanka; it's just that it makes more sense because it's quite close to the equator. You know, Sri Lanka is almost down to the equator, isn't it? You know, so it makes a lot of sense to have it there. And also he talks about a floating football stadium, and it floated almost completely underwater. I'm like, well, how heavy must the underside of the stadium be that a hollow structure like that, which is full of air, like mostly full of air, can float under the water? I'm like, well, maybe he just hasn't done his sums right, or he doesn't quite understand the principles behind displacement and stuff like that. And there's quite a few things throughout the book, but you can just sort of, like, if you just go, okay, look, all he needs to do is like change a few details, and you can sort of forgive it, really, because it's more in the kind of flavor of it, on the feel of it. That's not where the hard science elements of this are. The hard science elements really are to do with, like, different alien species, positing them and then applying them to football and how it changed the game. So it's a bit strange that a lot of, like, the science behind it is very much to do with the football rather than the world building, which is very good, but there were quite a few of these different bits and pieces of errors there which didn't really come up to scratch compared to other science fiction. A bit about the action here. There's a lot of American football talk in the story. Now, I know I've probably even lost quite a few people who don't know anything about American football already. The thing is, I don't know a huge amount of American football. I really do enjoy watching it. I did put a blog post up actually a few weeks ago talking about how at this time of year, when I'm working on cruise ships, I do watch quite a bit of American football, because at this time of year, you're getting late on in the season. There's lots of bowl games happening at the moment, which is the college football sort of end of year round of games. So if I want to, I can watch one or two American football games per day. Of course, I don't. But the ones that I do catch when I'm sitting in the sports bar doing email stuff, things like that, I really do enjoy because, well, just read my blog post. But it just comes down to that there is skill on display in every play, and mistakes really matter. And there's lots of other things that come down to, but as someone who juggles, I really want to see a lot of skill and a lot of tactics and a lot of sort of like personal or individual displays of skill. And while you do get that with other sports, I do think tennis is one of the most amazing, one of the most interesting sports to watch, because there's lots of there is lots of this going on, and there's lots of individual contacts or individual, what am I trying to say, like moments of action which mean something. Like every point in tennis means something, and you can come back at any time and win a tennis match, because until the final point is made, you can still come back and win, and that's what makes it very interesting. And it's the same with a sport like snooker as well. At any point in the match, even up until the last ball goes into the pocket, you know, someone can come back and win, and you still get that quite a lot with American football. Not as much, say if someone's like 50 points ahead, the other team aren't going to come back and win. But so often at the end of football games, you get that kind of, I was just watching a game last night and it was down to 1 point and then it goes into overtime, and it always comes down to like every play matters, because if they do a turnover, if they get like an interception at any play, that'll be it, that'll be the end of the game. And that kind of significance of every play and skill in every play really, really appeals me, so that's why I enjoy watching it. Unlike soccer, like normal football, association football as it's called, where you have lots and lots of contact, you know, people are kicking the ball around, but literally you can spend 2 minutes and they're just setting it up and they're kicking back and there and there and there, but then they're never going to score a goal. You know, most attempts at goal fail, which means that if someone makes a mistake and the ball goes to the other player, it doesn't really matter because they probably won't score. And then if they come back again and do score, you know, it's all right because you just hold them to a draw. So you've always got this thing going on there where not a lot's happening. And even if there is individual skill going on, like each pass is amazing, you know, if it's on the target and, you know, and the run, the speed that they all have, these soccer players have, is great. But it doesn't, none of it really matters too much. It's like basketball. It's like, yeah, doing 3-point shot is amazing and getting a slam dunk is amazing, but it doesn't matter too much because the other guys are just going to run down the other end and do exactly the same thing. Then you're going to run back and do exactly the same thing. So it's, again, there, it's only the last few minutes on a close game with basketball that matters. And it doesn't really matter too much if you make a mistake, because like I say, the other people will make a mistake too and it doesn't matter. Whereas in American football, if you make a mistake, it's just over. So with that in mind, I did understand pretty much all of the plays that are described and all of the action that was described in The Rookie. But if you don't know American football at all, this probably won't, it probably won't appeal to you in the same way. Which is a real pity. I mean, Scott Sigler, he does sort of make this clear. Or he tries and clears these things up. Like, he's like, oh, okay, I've had some people and they don't know American football, so here's me, not in any character, I was not part of the narrative, but just here's a podcast episode as a bonus about American football and about the positions. And then he does another one about the defense, and then another one about like the running game and the passing game, and talking about the different things that go on there. But even if not, I still think you could probably listen to it. And because all of the action that goes on the field, it doesn't really matter exactly what the play is, but it comes down to the speed and the focus and the mindset of the players and the decisions that they make based on their characters and based on like the conflict within the team and things like that, which is a big part of it. But even if you don't understand the specific plays that are going on, you probably could get a lot out of it. But if you do understand American football, you get a lot out of it because it is quite interesting. And the plays that he comes up with and the action that goes on with, I'm like, hey, that's actually quite clever. And hey, that's actually quite clever for American football, if you know like the tactics involved and if you know the rules and if you know that kind of setup, which is pretty good. Another thing that I was quite worried about is like, okay, Quentin Blake is the quarterback, and a lot of the book is talking about his skills as a quarterback and him as a quarterback. You do find out about the other players and things like that and what they go through and their training as well. But I was just like, okay, this is going to be a bit weird because he's going to go through every game of the season. Of course, the last game of the season is always the most important in these like sports stories. And I was thinking, well, how is he going to make this interesting? But through these quite cool twists throughout the novel, and especially one, even though it's a little bit of a trick twist that goes on there, but it ends up that Quentin Barnes suddenly has, he's not just the quarterback, you know, there's other stuff going on there as well. And suddenly he has, Quentin Barnes, our sort of like our main sort of guy that we're following throughout the novel, he suddenly has more to do and other things going on there. Again, I don't want to give it away too much, but suddenly in this last like two chapters, these last two episodes of the book, it suddenly takes on a whole other dimension, and the struggle that the team is going through is told from a completely different point of view and in a really clever way. And I really enjoyed that sudden change of direction, and I do hope that, you know, because I'm probably going to check out the next novels here I haven't looked it up, but I guess Scott Sigler will be releasing them as a podcast. Either he has already or he's going to be. Hopefully that kind of element is continued through into the next books, because I really did enjoy it. Again, I can't give it away too much there. There is other action going on off the field too, which is quite interesting, but most of the action and most of the description of the action goes on the pitch. bit about the writing style. It's very gritty. It's very violent. There's lots of swearing, but it's very satisfying as well. It sort of makes you wince. Like when two people crash into each other and he talks about limbs snapping and, you know, heads being driven into the grass or into the Karsenji grass or into the other kind of alien football field surfaces that they're playing on there. That's all, again, very... very satisfying. It really makes it go crunch. And it's also quite funny in places. And then at one point someone said something which wasn't very funny, and I'm like, well, that wasn't very funny. And then someone else immediately says, they're just like, don't say that, you can't say that. And I was like, oh, that's really clever. Which is, again, very important to me, that if there's going to be humour in a book, it has to be like natural humour, and it can't be commented on too much by the other players. It's like, if they find it funny, that's great, but it don't be like, oh, and they rolled around on the floor laughing because that person was so hilarious. It's like, no, just tell the funny joke, just have the funny line. And like when Quentin Barnes comes in and all the other players are, you know, ripping on him from being in the Purest Nation and because he's a racist and things like that, and they're beating down on him, you actually really feel it. And on sometimes you're like, you're on Quentin's side, and then other times you're like, no, Quentin is really like a racist fuck, you know. And then in other times you're like, you know, back again. And the way that it's written, it sort of grabs at your emotions and brings you into it, and it's very clever. And again, not quite sure how much that's down to like the performance aspect of the audio, and I'm not really quite sure how well this novel would work just as a print, but you can buy it as a print book. It's like in a limited edition hardcover, but the way you're going to get it probably is an audio. So I don't think that's too much of a problem, because the audio production, might as well talk about this, because I've never talked about this before in the SFBRP before, but it's very, very slick. I have listened to quite a few audio productions over the years. Not always at novel length, more short stories, but for anything that I've listened to, this is very, very slick production. And of course, because it's written by Scott Sigler and it's produced and performed and stuff by Scott Sigler too, he's written it specifically for his own voices and his own production talents. And so at the same time as him doing the voices, you've got a lot of sound effects in the background, but they're not sort of like, he walked through the door, clunk. You know, that is there a bit, but a lot of it comes from like the vibe of it. So they're in a football stadium and we've got like he plays like a roar of the crowd behind, and at one point the crowd shuts up and is silent, and suddenly it goes silent, and it's really noticeable when that happens. And when the plays happen, it goes, and then at one point or quite a few points in the game, suddenly it goes and everything goes into slow motion, and it really gets into the mind of the character where he's not paying any attention to the crowd, nothing on the pitch except him, the ball in his hand, the approaching defense, and like the wide receiver running down the pitch at, you know, 50 yards away. And so anything cuts out and it goes all quiet, and it goes, well, it doesn't go slower, but you know, you can really feel like it's all like in the Matrix, how it goes and it's bullet time, and it really hits that that kind of thing there. And it, again, it only happens like once per episode or once per match or something like that in when they're playing football, but it's that kind of those little touches that really really bring it to life as well. So it's well suited for audio, well suited for the talents of the voices, but also it's very well suited for being a podcast, because you have throughout the book, you have, because it's talking about the league, you suddenly go week one update, and they just run down like without any apology, they just have someone going, this team played against that team, that play team played against that team, this play team against that team, this player is the player of the week, and this person died on the pitch. And it literally just runs it down. It's sort of like a 2 or 3 minute like update of the state of the league at that time, which is really nice, because you don't have to have like that in exposition or in story, like out laying out the story, or even clunky. It could have been like, hey, did you see this game this week? Yes, isn't it good that that person played against that person? Yes, it is, and it's a pity that person died. Oh yes, it is. Like, the characters themselves don't have to worry about the rest of the league. We can worry about it as the listener or the reader, but like the characters don't have to go over that kind of stuff, because they don't care about what's happening in the other leagues or what's happening in these other teams, except for the score. It's like, how many wins they have, how many losses do they have, and will they be able to get into the playoffs at the end of the season. They don't need to worry about that, but to care about their chances, we need to worry about that. So they just have these weekly updates, and also you have like these acted panel discussions or pundit kind of discussions where they're going, hey, what about this guy? Yeah, and hey, thanks caller for mentioning that. Yeah, what do you think about Quentin Barnes? Who is this rookie quarterback? And they can talk and comment on that as well. But not only that, they actually had some like guest slots from, I can't remember what the podcast was called, but it's like the sports podcast which talks about American football and other sport. And he actually got on, like, real pundits to, like, talk about the league for the first few games, and sort of, it really, it's clever and it's a bit cute, but it does make it quite a fun read, a listen as well, when you actually get, like, other people commenting on the story, and then them saying, okay, and if you're interested in the 2007 Super Bowl, listen to our podcast or send us an email here, you know, and that's quite fun too. And as well, you get this other time where they suddenly, you get the commentators like talking about the match as it happens. So it cuts across these two guys and they're like, hey, did you see? Ooh, that play is really good. And he's running up the field now. So he doesn't have to always describe the action from inside a player's point of view. He can go outside and sort of see the wider picture and like see it from like the bird's eye view, the commentator's eye view, the TV view, the TV camera view, which is good. And again, I'm not quite sure how he's going to do all of that in print or how it would look in the book. I'm sure it's all in there. But again, maybe in print he could sort of edit those things more into the story as they'd make sense, or sort of lay it out there as more of a narrative kind of thing. This is what happened, rather than, hey, let's cut across to this radio show across there. But the production is very good and the writing style really brings it out too. Finally, talking about the themes, of course, there's a big theme about racism, which is about, yeah, okay, even though we're all different, we can all play in together and we can all get along. But then that also brings out the whole kind of, okay, so even if the Kredorakians did, like, kill millions taking over the galaxy, we do have this stability now. And all these races which were fighting each other and invading each other and everything like that, it's sort of like the Pax Romana. It's like wherever the Roman Empire was, there was peace. Again, at what cost? But then, is it good if racism isn't a factor anymore? If different different aliens can get on well, and is playing together in a football league enough to bring that people together? And there's lots of questions here, which I actually quite enjoyed. And also, I quite enjoyed that it came from the point of view, or the main character came from the religious, like the religious extreme spectrum, and sort of fought against his prejudices, which again, it's been done before many times, but so often it's sort of like someone going into a situation, like you have the person, the outsider coming in and landing on a planet and going, oh, well, how can you treat each other this badly? Oh, the slavery is so bad. It's told from the point of view of the other end as well. And a lot of this, again, another big theme, let me put it this way, is about leadership and teams and, you know, relying on your teammates and being able to back each other up and things like that. And that's actually very well explored here, about what it takes to become a leader and also what it takes to fall for, say, like Donald Pine is the leader already, and his journey that he goes in, it goes on sort of where he starts falling out of favor and things too. And again, because it's like, it's not so much a coming of age story, but it is very much a growing up story, so there's a lot about that as well, and about Quentin's development and becoming an adult. Like, he starts off the season as a boy, like as a 19-year-old you know, punk kid, and by the end of it, of course, he is becoming an adult. And a kind of leader in his own right too. Again, I'm not really spoiling it, because that's obviously what the book's going to be about when you start reading it there. So, good stuff as a conclusion. Very slick production. If you like American football like I do, I mean, I don't follow any teams or anything, and it's only like this time of the year that I get into it. You know, I mean, I did watch the Super Bowl last year and have done for the past few years and stuff. So I am interested in it sort of at that level of, you know, uninterested in the actual league itself and in the standings and things like that. But I do enjoy watching it, you know, on a game-by-game basis. I don't care about the team so much. In the same way that I enjoy watching tennis. A good tennis match is great, you know, to watch in that way. But again, what I'm saying, if you're at that level, you'll really, really enjoy it. I guess if you really, really love American football, you've probably already listened to this, if you like football and science fiction too. But even if you're not into it, you could probably still get a lot out of it. And again, I do think just the overall idea, the concept of the novel, where you have aliens playing football against each other, is just really clever. And apparently the next novel is going to follow on in the next season as well, so I will look it up. So I really, really enjoyed this. I'm going to give it 4.5 stars, maybe 4 stars. No, I think 4.5 stars, because it did, I think mainly because if it was just the story, I'd probably give it maybe 3.5 stars, because the story is like just a sports story and it's a bit predictable, but there's a lot of passion in it, which bumps it up again, and a lot of interesting stuff going on there, too, even if it's not based on the story, and the characters are very interesting as well, which bring it to 4 stars. But I think just because it was such a good audio production, and it really sucked me in like so many audio productions don't, I start listening to them and I just fade away and I lose interest. And then I'll start again and sort of keep flicking back and listen to the last 10 minutes again and I sort of fade away, and it's hard for me to concentrate. And I need to keep flicking back, or I like flicking back in the book and listening or reading other things in the previously in a book. And I can't do that very easily in an audiobook. Whereas in this, I didn't need to do that because he kept on doing these updates. It's like, okay, this is the state of the team. This is the state of the league. I don't have to worry about it. And every week, all of the teams are mentioned and all of the players are mentioned quite often. So it's actually written very well specifically for audio. So I'm going to give it 4.5 stars because it did suck me in. Again, it took a few episodes. It took maybe 5 episodes for me to really care about what's going on and really get into it. But it did work out well. Although, to be honest, because I've been watching American football on TV, and then I listened to the novel for a few episodes, and then went to sleep. I had, you know, where you call it Tetris eyes, where you when you're sleeping and you're playing Tetris in your head. That's what was happening with me, and I actually had an American football dream, which is a bit weird for me. But if I can actually dream about something that's in the book, there, I think it's it affects me well. So yeah, 4.5 stars. Next book that I'm going to read, I've got a flight home tomorrow night. It's like an overnight flight and a full day, so I set off at 10 p.m. in Buenos Aires, and I'll get home at about 10 p.m. the next day. I mean, it's not 24 hours because it's like time differences. I've pretty much got like 20 hours worth of time to kill over the next few days, so I'll probably get through 1 or 2 novels. So I've got some various novels on my iPhone. I might get around to, was it Blind Sight by Peter Watts? Peter Watts, I think it was. Got that there. I'm going to read The Invisible Man by H.G. Wells as well. And there's a few other bits and pieces on my iPhone, which I hopefully get to as well. I'll have to keep charging my iPhone because it, or read it on my iPod Touch, which I have, because it runs down the battery so much. Otherwise, I have a fantastic new year. If you're new to the podcast, you can check out what I'm doing, not just through via the podcast, but also my blog. You go to lukeburridge.com/blog, and I put up everything there about my travels and all my other projects that I work on there. Also, look out, hopefully in the coming week, I'll be releasing my International Juggler 2009 video, where I'll be, you can see me, all the different places that I've been this year, in a tightly edited little package there, about 4 minutes long, which I'm really interested, really looking forward to putting out and having people watch that too. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter, and whenever I put stuff on my blog, I'll put a post on Twitter as well, so you don't have to subscribe to my blog, you can just sort of get updates through Twitter, which is at Luke Burridge there. Otherwise, follow me on goodreads.com. And you can see what books I'm reading and follow along as I'm reading a book, because I post updates of where I'm up to in different books and what I'm thinking about them as I go along. Goodreads.com/Luke Burridge. Finally, email me at luke@juggler.net. That is the email address that you need to send me stuff to. So thanks a lot for listening. Have a great year, and I'll catch you later.